I'd like to say a word of thanks to Baron and to Jonathan and to the choir and to Cheryl in the office this past week who've just made me feel welcome, and to all of you who said hello this morning. I've known Baron since we were in seminary together, and yes, just in case you're wondering, Baron has always been Baron. He has always had this eye and ear and mind and heart for the things that are good and true and right and faithful and decent and in order. And you are blessed to have Baron as your pastor. And I'm blessed to have him as a friend and a colleague in ministry. I've been a recipient of Baron and Lester's hospitality and am well acquainted with their dogs. I dog sat their dogs last summer for 2 weeks. And it is a privilege to be here this morning with you in this place. And I tremble to be in this pulpit in some ways because I know of some of the faithful and excellent preaching that has happened in this place prior to me. There's this place in Scotland that both Baron and I love. It's called Iona. Some of you may have been there. You may have heard of it. And there's a song that they sing there. And I'd like to teach that song to you if you'd be so kind. So if you'll just repeat after me. God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends. God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends.
That's a lovely sound. You sound wonderful. I think we would sound even better if we added another little part to it. So repeat after me again.
God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends. God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends.
You're so good. You're so good. But I think we could add one more part. So if you're feeling frisky, you can go up high.
God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends. God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends.
Now, thankfully, we live in a country that is freedom of expression, and you are free to express yourself with any of those three parts or any part you want to make up, okay? Are you ready? We're going to sing through a couple times. Here we go.
God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends.
Keep going.
God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends. God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends.
Once more.
God welcomes all, strangers and friends. God's love is strong and it never ends.
Beautiful. As Baron said earlier, Jesus had a lot to say about welcome, and today's scripture reading is one of those passages. Reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10. Listen now for the word of God. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I was incognito on a secret mission For all anyone knew, I was not a fresh out of seminary graduate looking for a job. Instead, for all anyone knew, I was a single young man who had come to worship at Amity Presbyterian Church one random summer Sunday. No one in the sanctuary that day knew who I was, except for the pastor and a few members of the Director of Christian Education Search Committee who had interviewed me for that position just the previous week. But I wanted to see this congregation in action on Sunday morning before I committed to taking a job there. And so I walked through the door of the church, was handed a bulletin by the usher, and found my way to an empty pew where I sat down. But I didn't sit there for long. A woman who was sitting about 10 feet away saw me, got up from where she was sitting, came over and said, "Welcome, I'm Lou Dahmer, and I'm a member of this church. Who are you?" "My name is John Sawyer," I said. "Well, John Sawyer, it is nice to meet you. I would love for you to come and sit by me." How could I refuse? I'll never forget the way this 93-year-old woman took my hand in hers. Gently, insistently, she pulled me over to sit next to her, which is where I sat for the rest of the service. Afterwards, she even invited me to lunch, but I politely declined. She said, "Okay, John Sawyer, I'll see you next week." And she meant it. For the next 3 years, as I served that congregation, Lou and I would share plenty of lunches together. We were good friends, and she would often talk about that moment that she first met me. As I think about it, the moment that I met her was the moment I decided that Amity Presbyterian Church was a good place. Had it not been for Lou and her welcome, my life might have turned out differently. My encounter with her sealed the deal. Jesus was about to send his 12 disciples into the surrounding countryside to encounter all kinds of people. They were going out to preach the good news that the kingdom of heaven has come near, and they were to cure the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and cast out demons. Jesus told his disciples that he was sending them out like sheep in the midst of wolves. They would be persecuted, they would be called bad names because of who Jesus was, and this would possibly even cause strife within their own families. The life of a disciple would not be easy, but in today's passage, at the very end of his instructions to the disciples before they went out into the world, Jesus voiced the hope that wherever the disciples went, they would be made welcome. "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me," Jesus said, "and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." Jesus is saying here that wherever his disciples go, he is going with them in spirit. And not just Jesus, but the one who sent Jesus, God Almighty. This is a curious idea. The idea that wherever we go as followers of Jesus, we do not go alone. And when someone welcomes us, they welcome Jesus. They welcome God. If you think about it this way, hospitality is not just something that we might read about in Emily Post or learn about by working in the so-called hospitality industry of restaurants and hotels. True hospitality is a spiritual gift, and truly welcoming someone else is a spiritual exercise. When Jesus used the word welcome, he was describing a certain kind of thing. In the original language, Jesus is saying, "Whoever receives you and takes you up in their arms, whoever embraces you, embraces me and embraces the one who sent me." Now, you can tell someone welcome in a perfunctory sort of way, but it requires far more from us to make someone feel truly welcome. And Jesus knew that when you are truly welcoming in a take you up in their arms, embracing kind of way, you will receive far more than you could ever imagine. Just how much more will we receive? Well, the author of the book of Hebrews wrote, "Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." Jesus goes even further, saying that when we welcome a disciple, we are not just entertaining an angel, but we are welcoming God. We are embracing the divine, the holy. For some reason, we live in a time when the prospect of being welcoming and showing hospitality to outsiders or new people suddenly has all kinds of baggage, political, ideological, emotional baggage. And unfortunately, when it comes to arguing over whether to welcome someone or not, real lives are hanging in the balance. A couple weeks ago at our church in New Hampshire, we welcomed the Reverend Paulo Lima to our vacation Bible school to talk to us about his life and ministry. Paulo is from Brazil, and he is a minister member of our presbytery, and he serves five mostly Brazilian immigrant congregations in northern Massachusetts. He told us about how both attendance and giving are down at his churches in recent months because some of his church members are afraid that a worship service will be raided by U.S. immigration authorities. He told us about going in front of an immigration judge several times each week to advocate for members of his congregation, our fellow Presbyterians. A 9-year-old girl from his church was called into court, and Paulo served as her guardian for the hearing because everyone knew that if the girl's parents showed up to support her, that they would be arrested on the spot and deported. Listening to Paulo, I could not help but imagine how hard it would be if I had to stand in the pulpit of my church week after week and look out to see empty pews where the members of my congregation used to sit, but they are now deported. And I couldn't help but imagine what an affront it would be to have a service of worship interrupted by the police looking to arrest a member of our church based on whatever might or might not be stamped on their passport. As Pastor Paulo told his story, he began to cry. His work is so difficult right now. So we gathered around him, laid hands on him, and prayed for him, and some of the members of our group even embraced him. Anyone who embraces you embraces me, Jesus said. And anyone who embraces me embraces the one who sent me. There are those big national and international discussions about who and how to welcome that are going on. But there are some issues about who and how to welcome that are much smaller and much closer to home. In a certain Presbyterian congregation, when the concept of the passing of the peace was introduced and practiced on a weekly basis, it was not a big hit among certain people. Folks worried about germs and stuff like that. They definitely didn't want to touch anybody else, especially not at church. Handshakes were off the table, much less hugs. It was flu season, after all. The people did not understand that the passing of the peace is a perfect way to practice welcome. When you look someone in the eye and say, "May the peace of Christ be with you," you are saying that God's peace, which passes all understanding, will truly and deeply be in and with them. You're taking an interest, a spiritual interest, in someone else and sharing God's grace with them. Feeling welcomed, feeling loved and safe for just a moment might be the only thing that someone needs to begin a relationship with God or restart a relationship with God. Just so you know, the passing of the peace is not for church use only. You can take it with you and offer it anywhere, anytime. Though if you say, "May the peace of Christ be with you," to the cashier at the grocery store, you might get some interesting looks. A few years back, a mission team from our church went to New York to do Hurricane Sandy relief. We stayed at the First Presbyterian Church of Jamaica, Queens, New York, which some of you might know is the church where our current president was confirmed as a boy. The church is multi-ethnic and multicultural now, somewhat ironic. In the worship service on that Sunday morning, as we passed the peace, we found ourselves being pulled away from where we had been sitting, and we were invited to sit with members of the congregation for the rest of the service. I don't know if people in that church had heard about Miss Lou Dahmer, but there was a connection there. We had been pre-warned by the pastor during the welcome that this would happen. We want, he said, for our church to look more and more like heaven. With the fun and welcoming love shown by those people in that service, strangers became friends, and it did feel a little more like heaven. To give someone a welcoming embrace, whether we actually physically touch them or not, is an act of trust and love, intimacy even, that you and I might not always relish. I mean, there are germs, there are smells and fears and differences and divisions, but to not extend Christ's love and Christ's welcome to all, even to just give a cup of cold water to someone in Jesus' name, to not do these things means that everyone misses out. You see, Jesus was not always made welcome. There was no room in the inn when he was born. He had to flee from the land of his birth to Egypt in order to escape King Herod. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. He was run out of his hometown synagogue when he preached, and he was asked to leave other places when he healed on the Sabbath. He was definitely not welcome in Jerusalem, where he was arrested and crucified. Jesus was not always made welcome, but the good news for us is that Jesus always welcomes us, opening his arms wide to embrace us with God's love. Through that love, we have been brought from death to life and have received God's grace. When we welcome others in Jesus' name, we are welcoming him. We are welcoming heaven. My grandmother Sawyer used to say that her definition of heaven was right relationships. God's relationship with us is made right in Jesus Christ, and heaven is a place where our relationships with one another are made right too. Right relationships are begun and built through the loving embrace of one another. And in that embrace, the kingdom of God is made known. So as disciples of Jesus, who are called to spread the good news wherever we go, that the kingdom of heaven has come near, why not begin now? Why not begin with everyone we meet? A friend is just someone who used to be a stranger, but is not a stranger anymore. You never know who's going to come into your life, be it on a random summer Sunday or any other time. You never know when a stranger will become a friend. But our friend, Jesus, who lovingly welcomes us into a right relationship with God, invites us to be a friend to all. When my friend Lou Dahmer died at the ripe age of 103, her obituary read, "She was a friend to everyone she met." Will this be true of us? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.